Welcome to Jags Drive Time with Ashlyn Sullivan, John Osher, and Brian Sexton. Jags Drive Time starts right now.
No, Rod, thank God for football. And I thank God for the people of Jacksonville. And I have to get this in just one time. Duval!
Yes, it was the best part of the Hall of Fame speech. What a weekend for Tony Boselli, for the Jaguars as a whole. We're going to recap it all here on Monday on Jaguars Drive Time, just coming off the practice field as well. A lot of football going on this week. Welcome into Jaguars Drive Time. Ashlyn Sullivan and Brian Sexton here with you. And we were both in Canton. I was there for a short while, came back Friday morning.
Yeah, I felt bad for you.
No, you didn't. And you were there all weekend, but I know you got to witness that awesome weekend. We're going to talk a lot about it in the show, but briefly,
well,
what does it mean?
Here's what made it special. I was there in 1995, and the entire organization was counting on Tony Boselli when they drafted him, right? I mean, he was the first player they drafted. He was going to be a player of significance. We hoped he was going to be a great player. He turned out to be a great player and a great ambassador for this franchise. And I don't know that you could ask. I don't know that you'll ever get. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe Trevor Lawrence is going to be that guy who means as much to your franchise as he does. So 27 years later, to be back at the Hall of Fame, enshrining him, celebrating him, was a special feeling to me, you know, as one of the people who was there.
Yeah, such
so
a
I
full
really
circle moment,
it.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and it felt that way, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, we have a lot to talk about, a lot of football to talk about as well, recapping the first preseason game. Big thing one is week two. We are officially in week two of the preseason, prepare for the first home game this Friday against the Cleveland Browns. Practice has looked a little different this week, a lot more physical, and that's Coach Peterson saying, we're shifting gears.
You know, we spent the first 2 weeks of camp really installing offense and defense, and so there was a lot of, I think, from a mental standpoint, there was a lot of things that we kind of threw at these guys, and now that we're kind of into the meat and potatoes of training camp, things begin to, you know, slow down from an installation standpoint, and we can go back and really fine-tune and detail, you know, some of the assignments, some of the details that we and some of the mistakes we made in the game, and build towards this next one.
Big thing, too, is back to the game. Let's go back to Thursday's Hall of Fame game. Haven't had the chance to recap it. There are a lot of things that the Jaguars need to improve on that we noticed, but one thing that definitely stood out is the play of Trayvon Walker.
It definitely is, just because a lot of people doubt me or whatever you may say. A lot of people support me as well, but I know who I am and I know the type of player I can be, so I'm just continuing to grow and show other people as well.
Was this pretty seamless of what you've been doing in camp, kind of just build upon that?
Definitely. Like I said, 1% better every day. If you get 1% better every day, then you can't get no worse than you already was.
And big thing three is Travis Etienne is back, and man, was he back on Sunday for live tackling drills. He took a couple pops that made me gasp, where I'm thinking, gosh, I hope he gets up, but he was saying, bring it on.
Got reminded quickly it's a physical game, but that's why we play, that's why we love it. Like you said, I haven't played in so long. Like, I want to get tackled, I need to get tackled just to get back, just get my body back acclimated with that. I just been at home working out, chilling on the couch, stuff like that, so to come out here and get like bumps and bruises, I miss that contact, you know. It may sound crazy, but I miss kind of being in those car crashes.
And there you have it. Those are big things. We'll start big picture there. Sunday's practice, yesterday's practice, was the most physical practice I have seen in training camp. Live tackling to the ground, harder tackles than we normally see game day on Sundays. It's something I've never seen. And talking with Coach Peterson and Josh Allen, it's them saying, hey, we're not ready. And we have to get ready. The season's coming. And I know Coach Peterson in his book, he mentions, you know, tackling in training camp and maybe even in season. So this isn't out of the norm, but it was different than what I've ever seen in Jacksonville.
Well, it's different than what they do now.
Yeah.
When Doug was a player, to say, you know, early 90s through early 2000s, that's what we did, right? I mean, they went twice a day and they were live. Now, they weren't live in every period, right? But especially 9-on-7 in the run game and the goal line and the red zone, they were live all the time. They've backed away from that. The salary cap has become more of a central part of life. And as a result of that, you want to be careful. Because if you lose a high-dollar player, it's really tough to replace that guy. So They don't do that much anymore. But Doug said to me and a couple of other people the first week of camp, hey, I'm going to do this. He's got 2 days in mind where he's going to do it. Because you know what, Ashlyn? You have to get used to tackling, mm-hmm. right? Every period on game day is live.
Right.
Right. So you can't not tackle. Guys have to get their bodies ready for that. But they're very smart about it. And I'm sorry I missed it. We were on an airplane coming back from Canton. And I heard he's doing live today. And I went, well, great, one of two. And we're not going to be able to see it.
Yeah. But, funny enough, it was the day that basically everyone was traveling back there. I think there were five media members out there. So I felt very privileged to be well, one of them.
Hey, look, the intensity level is high. It was high today. And they were in full pads. But they didn't go full. They weren't live all the way to
tackling
the ground.
The ground right.
But you could tell that that period impacted those guys. Watching Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker, you know, walking over to do some of their individual work, you could tell they were a bit gassed. Yesterday's practice had an impact on them.
Oh, yeah. After practice yesterday, Josh Allen was sitting on a picnic table for maybe 15 minutes, and I walked up and I said, you okay? He's like, yeah, today was a little tough. Yeah. So they're definitely feeling the effects of it.
Well, you know, you couldn't have watched that game last Thursday, even though you didn't see many starters, and it would be hard for you to imagine the coach saying anything other than we got work to do.
Right.
Right. We have got to get some things done.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did.
Yeah,
he brought it on
did.
Sunday.
But the one thing, and we will say from last Thursday's game, when you think of the one positive, it has to be Trayvon Walker.
Oh,
even with the penalty, which was funny in the locker room, he's like, yeah, I don't think they're mad about that penalty.
Yeah. Oh, no. First snap of the game, and he's coming off the edge. And look, Brandon Parker is a 5-year veteran. He's not their starter. I think he's got 32 starts in his career. So it's not like he is Cam Robinson, right? But he's long. You know, he's 6'7" and long arms. And to watch Trayvon Walker sort of set it up, I wrote in my quick thought that I thought he hesitated. And watching it back, I think maybe I was wrong. I think maybe he was setting him up. And then bull rush, 6'7". It's tough to bull rush those guys, especially guys with long arms, because they tend to keep pass rushers, you know, at a distance from them. Man, he got right into him, threw him to the ground, and then got out there with his arm. And he said to us in the postgame locker room, I was so close, I was going to make an impact in the play. Folks, he's everything we've been telling you. He's raw in the pass rush, right? He doesn't bring, like Josh Allen brought from Kentucky, but a huge bevy of pass rush moves.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have that. He's going to have to work on that.
Right.
But what he brings is immense physical ability on a huge frame. I told someone last week, Clydesdale in the body, stallion on the field. I mean, the guy just... He impresses you physically, and the way that he runs, not many people can do it.
Yeah, and I don't think I'll ever forget when they said over the loudspeaker in the stadium, Trayvon Walker, sack, and you just heard on the Jaguar sideline this explosion of cheers, like, ah, yes, this is what we've been waiting for. Yeah. And all the doubt and all the hesitation of who to pick number one overall, it was that clarity moment.
You know, it was all, look, they want offensive coordinators to worry about which one of those guys, 41 or 44, that they can get help with. Because one of them is going to be one-on-one. That first play had to make a bunch of guys go, yeah, okay, that's going
to
be a difficult decision.
We need to worry about this one.
Yep.
And finally, let's touch a little bit on Travis Etienne. We mentioned them needing to have tackling drills. And Travis Etienne, I love the honesty, saying, I haven't had gotten hit in over a year. I need this right now. And the biggest question we had all offseason was, when you do have that live tackling practice, will Travis Etienne be okay to come back the next day? He looked great today.
Yep.
Back out there.
Done. He's back.
Mm-hmm.
There was a day on the practice field last week where he turned it up, and I think it was a week ago Sunday, and went up the sideline, and a coach went, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, okay, he's done. Yeah, he's ready to go.
He is.
And then to see him on the practice field today, knowing that he went full yesterday, that was the test. Can he go day to day to day to day, or is he going to need to rest it? They're not resting him. And the suddenness that he's showing in both the passing game and the patience, and then electrifying suddenness in the running game, he's back.
Yeah, and no hesitation. And
none.
Trevor Lawrence, post-practice today, we were talking about the hits Travis took, and we said, man, I've never seen a back take hits like that.
Right.
And Trevor's like, oh, yeah, he does that all the time. He's fine.
Yeah, he's used to it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
here's just the amazing thing about this kid is that, and we shouldn't forget, the Liz Frank injury, which he suffered, has been a career ender for more guys at that position than it hasn't been, right? Rare is the guy who comes back, especially a guy like Etienne, whose plant that foot and explode up the field ability is rare. It's why he was a first-round pick. It's why he was the ACC's all-time leading rusher. There was no guarantee he was going to come back.
Right. So for him to come back on this
level. It's a great story.
It is.
It's a great story.
It is. And he's been very honest of how grueling and difficult it was for him, that rehab process.
Yep.
So you can't help but root for him. And you're happy he's back on the field.
He's a sensational player. He's a great kid.
He absolutely is. And that is Big Things. We have much more to come on Jaguars Drive Time, recapping Tony Boselli's Hall of Fame weekend coming up. Stay with us. Call CarShield now. If your car's out of manufacturer's warranty, don't get stuck with expensive mechanical and computer screen repairs. Call CarShield. We are back, Jaguars Drive Time. It is Monday. We just came off the practice field. It's still a bit warm in here from that. Very sticky today, but we have lots to talk about this football team right now going into the second preseason game. Now is when we start trying to figure out, all right, who's going to make this 53-man roster? Right now it is a 90-man roster, so a lot of dwindled down from. There are, frankly, just a lot of bodies that we're trying to figure out what's going on. So we picked two guys right now that we're trying to figure out their role. So what do we know? What do we don't know? Brian Sexton has Caleb on Chaisson.
Yeah, you know, Chaisson, we know that athletically, I used to call Dante Fowler a lion. Because when you watched him on the field and watched him move, I mean, so effortless. He was like one of those big cats. And this guy reminds me of that, right? I mean, athletically, the last couple of years, he's been all around the quarterback. The problem is, he doesn't make plays. He can get there, but he doesn't get home. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether that's instincts. I don't know what it is. But the other night, second quarter, he made an outside move at the snap of the ball and then looped back inside and raced to the quarterback. I mean, from the angle where I was sitting in the press box, he was coming right at the quarterback. And the quarterback had to think, this is going to hurt, right? Because here comes 6'3", 255 pounds, racing at me. He didn't make the play. Arden Key, looping in behind him, got the first of his two sacks. And I thought, here's what we know. Kalavon Chaisson looks like a first-round pick to the moment he gets near the quarterback. And then he looks lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we know about him, is that he's going to get around the quarterback. But he's not going to make the play. The question is, can Preston Buckner and that crew, right, the defensive line coach and the defensive coordinator, Mike Caldwell, can they help him get over that hump and be the guy who actually gets to the quarterback? There is no doubt when he comes off the edge, he's going to make people go, whoa. Mm-hmm. But if you're the quarterback, I don't know if you worry very much about him. Because he only has, what, one sack in his career?
Right. The stats don't show. Yeah. And that's his MO, is you see this guy, this freak of nature, and you think, my gosh, look at the athleticism. Right. Look at the ability. And it's just not showing up on game day. 100. And you can't help but wonder why.
Wonder if he can get over that. Because you see why he was a first-round pick. And that was the word on him coming out of LSU. Athletically gifted. I mean, supreme athletic talent. But he has not become that pass rushing, quarterback sacking machine that they hoped at number 20 overall.
Right, and it's very similar to LaVisca Chenault in the similar draft class, and we have so many.
Is that a transition? Is that your guy?
Yeah, so many questions about, you know, this is the time when you see the jump, right? And we have so many questions about this guy, LaVisca Chenault, as well. When is he going to make the jump to be the playmaker we saw in college? And very similar to Kalavon Chaisson, live up to that draft status. And maybe that's not fair to have because it's not the same staff. And frankly, I don't know if they care about when they were drafted.
No, they don't.
But that's what we think of is, okay, you're not living up to where you were drafted. And we remember, you know, for LaVisca Chenault, after he was drafted, I remember Keenan McCardell running down the hallway cheering because he got this guy. And LaVisca Chenault telling us that he compares his game to Antonio Brown. And we're thinking, wow, you know, this guy is going to be awesome for this franchise. And it's not just living up. So what do we know about LaVisca Chenault? We know he has a very unique skill set. And Press Taylor, offensive coordinator, talked this morning about trying to figure out, okay, how to use it. And that's what I think we don't know and they don't know is how to use it. And is it too similar to Jamal Agnew? And where do you put him right now?
Well, he's not fast, right? I mean, so he doesn't threaten the field. He's a guy that you have to almost trick to get open. Now, that sounds disrespectful. I don't mean it that way. But you have to gimmick it a little bit to get him off the line of scrimmage. I've said since he, probably midway through his rookie season, when it was pretty clear that he was not fast, that he's a guy that is not a receiver, more of a tight end, an H-back type.
Right.
The question you have with a young player like that is, will he accept it? Will he accept the fact that though he was a special college talent at Colorado, he's not that in the NFL?
Right.
He's going to have to be that trickeration guy. I don't know whether he's that or not. I look at a guy who's 6'1 and 220 pounds, and I watched him play at Colorado because I watched a bunch of that Pac-12 stuff, and I thought he was terrific. And I love his physical style. Is he committed to it? Is he willing to put in the work to create a role for himself? Or is he just going to say, no, hey, look, I'm a receiver. Someone will find a way to make me a receiver. Mm-hmm. I'll go be a receiver. I think if he would commit and buy in 100%, Doug loves that stuff. Doug loves the creativeness. I would think that they would find a spot for him.
Right.
But I haven't seen it.
No.
I haven't seen it. And I haven't heard it either.
There was a point in the offseason during OTAs where he was here every single day and he was really committing. And in the weight room, we're like, all right, here we go. Here's the redemption story for Laviska Shenault. And now in training camp, I still have hesitations. And we're at the point where we're talking whether they keep a fifth or sixth receiver. Is it him or Laquon Treadwell?
Well, look, he was one of the guys that stayed back when the veterans went away and didn't take part in minicamp. He was one of those guys, the selected guys who they had for a couple of days on the practice field, right? Well, if he didn't get the message then, they're not sold on you yet.
Right.
They're not sure what your role is. He missed the boat. He better figure it out. I mean, this is going to be on him to figure it out, to buy in and be ready to be that. I don't know how to describe it, but that guy that they can use in a number of different roles. But he's not going to the Hall of Fame as a receiver.
Yes, as you can see, a great segment because we have a lot of questions about these two and many more on what we know, what we don't know. When we come back on Jaguars Drive Time, talking all Tony Pacelli, recapping an awesome Hall of Fame weekend coming up on Jags Drive Time. Price.com is the easiest way to save money with comparison shopping, cashback, coupons, all in one. It's free. Try Price.com today.
You know, I have one bone to pick with the Hall of Fame, but I'm going to deal with it. They ran out of gear. What do you expect? it's Jaguar fans. These people are crazy. And plus, I got a big family. 2 days ago, my kids went to go buy something, and there's no gear left. There was nothing left. And my kids get dead. What happened? I'm like, well, Jags fans got here. And so I'm going to have a little conversation with Jim Porter and say, we need to make some more stuff. But that doesn't surprise me. Listen, this is a great fan base. Jacksonville's a great football town. I don't care what anyone says. You show me another city that would go through the seasons that we have had, which I believe is changing with Doug Peterson, and I think Trevor Lawrence is the real deal. But forget about the future. But if you just talk about these fans, what they've endured and what they've gone through and how they stand by this organization and their players, and they've stood by me since 1995, never a doubt in my mind that they would come in full force. And they dominated this weekend. Dominated. And it was
they
crazy.
Absolutely did. There were so many Tony Pacelli t-shirts, jerseys in Canton, Ohio. It was an awesome weekend for Tony Pacelli and really anyone that had anything to do with the Jaguars franchise. Welcome back to Jaguars Drive Time. Brian, I know you were there for the whole weekend.
You bet.
For the enshrinement, for the party, for all the moments with his family. I will say the one thing that stood out to me in his speech was there was never a me moment. And, you know, look at me and look what I've accomplished. It was faith, family, football, teammates. The end.
And that's who he's been since he arrived. Before he had kids. It was Angie and his parents. And he's never changed. He's never changed. He's always been the same guy that he said he was going to be. And as I mentioned off the top of the show, the fact that they hoped he would be when they drafted him and then got it is amazing. I mean, we've had lots of high first round picks that have not turned out, right? They weren't the player or the person. In some cases, they weren't either. He's as good as we could have ever asked for. And he's a great proponent of this market. And having him in the Hall of Fame and with that gold jacket now, it gives the Jaguars a boost up. More credibility than ever to have a guy like that.
Yeah, and what a guy to be the first one, right?
Yeah, there aren't enough words. There aren't enough adjectives to describe as he talked about his family. And they panned the crowd. You know, I could see the look on people's faces, and they were dropping it on the screens where I was standing. And I spent more time looking at people's reaction to see how much they cared about Tony, right? How important he was. And he's right. the number of people that I saw, that I talked to, who made the trip up, who stayed as far away as Cleveland. Some people were in Youngstown. They wanted to be there to celebrate with their favorite player. And 27 seasons, 27 years later, right, he's still their favorite player.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really cool for Coach Peterson and General Manager Trent Baalke going back with the team and coming back up for the party. And I asked Coach Peterson yesterday at practice, I was, how was it? He's like, man, like, what a – and he said he didn't meet a lot of people or he didn't know a lot of people going into it and came out knowing all of these people of the Jaguars franchise. So really cool that they made the effort as well.
Well, and I was standing there. He was talking with Jeff Novak, who is one of Tony Boselli's best friends. He was the starting left tackle for the first couple of games until Tony was ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff played with Doug in Miami. And so they were having a great conversation. And Doug was just, he enjoyed it. I saw Trent, you know, shaking hands and talking to people and getting engaged in conversation. You get the sense that this franchise is on the way up, right? The building, the quarterback, the coach, Tony Boselli. It was a very, Saturday was a great day to be a Jaguars fan.
Oh, I love that. Very cool.
It was
cool.
So, yeah, it was very, it was emotional.
Yeah.
For there were a handful of us, maybe eight, who were here, who were there in Canton in 1995. And as we talked about it, you know, you could feel the emotion in the room. It was great.
Yeah, such a full circle moment, I'm sure.
It was. Yeah. It really was. And then hopefully in the next couple of years, we see Fred Taylor and Tom Coughlin go in.
Right.
Ashton, I've said this since the early days. This is Green Bay, right? It's a one-horse town. It's a football town. You're not going to see a basketball team here. You're not going to see a baseball, hockey. This is a football town. And as Tony mentioned, it's a great fan base. And what makes this Green Bay, right? They don't have the titles yet, but they can touch. People can touch the Jaguars. They can see them at Publix. They can see them at the beach and in restaurants. And the players get to enjoy that aspect of it.
Yeah.
When this becomes a title town, this will become a really special place. The players want to play.
Mm-hmm.
It already is, but it's got a little growing room left to do in it.
Yeah.
This can be that place, that Green Bay of the South.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville has that in front of it. And I think Tony mentioned it, with this coach and this quarterback and the ownership and the building and the plans, it's never been more solid and it's never looked so good.
Yeah, absolutely. We can see that just from practice yesterday and
100%.
Today. Totally different.
Yep.
All right. We have one more segment coming up on Jaguars Drive Time. Stay with us. Hey, Jacksonville, when the Jaguars come roaring back to the bank, will you be there? With our new bundle at the bank, you can purchase tickets to three or more games of your choice starting at $46 per game. You'll get access to Jaguars and Daily's Place pre-sales, discounts, or single game tickets, a dedicated account representative, and more bundle exclusive perks. To lock in your seats, visit jaguars.com. We're back, Jaguars Drive Time. Much more football to come this week as we are back on the training camp field Wednesday. Coach Peterson will speak to the media before practice as well as players. And our first preseason game this Friday against the Cleveland Browns. Tickets are still available on jaguars.com. We'll be back, Jaguars Drive Time, Thursday morning. We'll see you there.